Today is the 21st day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is truly wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful deeply to be here with you today to take the next step forward on this adventure that we began, well, back at the beginning of the year. We can continue to wind our way forward. Today, we will conclude the book of 1 Samuel, which will bring us to a conclusion of King Saul's reign as king. And then we will move forward in the story with 2 Samuel beginning tomorrow. But today, 1 Samuel 29, 30, and 31. The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from the day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the heads of our own men? Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands?" So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you. Now turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers." "But what have I done?" asked David. "What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Achish answered, "I know that you have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said he must not go up with us into battle. Now get up early, along with your master's servants who have come with you, and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Keratites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besor Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with him. As David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike." David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. When David reached Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, "Here is a gift for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies." David sent it to those who were in Bethel, Ramoth Negev, and Jatir, to those in Arior, Sifmoth, Eshtemoah, and Rechal, to those in the towns of the Jerahmeelites and the Kenites, to those in Hormah, Bor Eshan, Ittak, and Hebron, and to those in all the other places where he and his men had roamed. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men died together that same day. When the Israelites along the valley and those across the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and they sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths and fastened his body to the wall of Beth-Shan. When the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul. All their valiant men marched through the night to Bethshan. They took down the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Bethshan and went to Jabesh, where they burned them. Then they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. John 11:55-12:19. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Psalm 118, 1-18. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, "His love endures forever." Let the house of Aaron say, "His love endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord say, "His love endures forever." When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Proverbs 15:24-26. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. Okay, so we concluded 1 Samuel today, and in it we experienced the mayhem that was prophetically foretold in yesterday's reading. And there's plenty of mayhem and loss to go around in that story. So David and his men had marched as Philistines toward battle with the Israelites. But before the battle began, they were sent away. So the other Philistine kings, they came down on Achish, who David was serving, and they're basically like, this is David. He is a hero of Israel. He cannot go into battle with us. Even though he may stink to the Israelites at this point, if he starts killing us from within the battle, what else is going to put him in good graces? He cannot go. He's too much of a risk for us. If he turns against us and becomes our adversary, we are doomed. So Achish has to send them away. And they protest, of course, but they are given leave, and David and his men begin the long march back to Ziklag. And I'm guessing 100 miles. It's probably more, but it's by foot, and so it takes them 3 days. That's 33 miles a day. Like, they're huffing it back, only to find that raiding parties from the Amalekites have burned down their city to the ground. Nobody's there. Everyone has been taken hostage. Everyone is taken as plunder. Everything is taken as plunder. Meanwhile, the battle in the north, in the Jezreel Valley, is beginning. And the Philistines crush Israel. By the time David and his men returned from pursuing the Amalekites and recovering their stuff, their wives and children and belongings, the battle in the north was over. And Saul and his sons, including David's beloved friend Jonathan, they are all dead. And the Israelite army has fled. And the Philistines have taken Saul's body, the king, and hung it from the walls of Beth Shan. Beth Shan is an archaeological, massive archaeological site that still exists until this day, because it's had different iterations of the city for so long, all the way through the Roman Empire. And so some of these early Philistine Canaanite walls are still there where Saul's body was hung, as well as all of the history that came after. That's all still visible today. And then in the Gospel of John, we're beginning to turn the corner toward Jesus' final days. And this will be the last time that we will cover that territory, that story. And so just knowing that, as we approach it, as we move into it and through it, like, may we actually hold it precious, not blaze through it, not feel like we've already heard it or already know it, but hold it, give it the heaviness, the weightiness, the gravity that it deserves. Allow the impact of it being retold one more time to disrupt the busyness that we keep chasing and the chaos that we keep kind of looking for. There's so much to offer stress and anxiety. It's really only one story that offers hope, and that's the story that we're moving into. So may we let our hearts consider what Jesus was going through as he entered Jerusalem on this colt. And may our hearts sing along, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So Father, we thank you for another day, another step, bringing us to the conclusion of another book. We prepare to move forward in the Old Testament. We invite you to lead us on the narrow path that leads to life, the path of truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. It's peaceful in Pennsylvania. I want to pray for Karen, a first-time caller who is struggling with peripheral artery disease. She explained she's had a lot of surgeries. Father, I just thank you, God, for Karen. We cast off that spirit of discouragement. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are more than able to heal her where she's at. She is the healed of the Lord. Lord, I know healing is for today, and healing is our inheritance. Father, I just come against whatever is causing the outcome of the multiple surgeries she's had to be less than good. Father, I just thank you, God, that you'll strengthen her. Have people come behind her and beside her to encourage her. Lord, I thank you, God, for your healing power, touching Karen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, family, beloved in Bakersfield, I just wanted to call and thank his daughter in Oklahoma, along with Cowboy, Prisoner of Hope, and I know there were a few others who prayed for me as I was returning to work, and just for the pain I've been having in my body. I just want to thank you guys so much and give a praise report. The last 2 weeks have gone really, really well. My body has been significantly better. So just thank you, brothers and sisters, for lifting me up and covering me in prayer. And thank you, God, for allowing me to have improvement in my symptoms. I also wanted to pray for Matthew. You were kind of calling in with some of the same pain symptoms I was having. So Heavenly Father, may you restore Matthew's health to him. God, would you speak wisdom and life into him, and may he know that you want the best for him. So would you give him wisdom in the avenues that he can improve, whether that be through diet, exercise, or even just seeing a practitioner and who can guide him towards healthy habits and choices to move forward. But Lord, we know your healing hand is the ultimate decider. So Lord, would you extend health to him, and may he be walking with less pain and issues in the weeks to come, Lord. I love you, family. So grateful for you all.
Hello. My name is Frances, but I'm going to go by Princess. So today is a really hard day. It's May the 17th, which would have been my 23rd anniversary. My husband. But he passed away 2 years ago. And I really tried real hard today not to cry. And I need your prayers. Because it's just, I don't know how to let go. It's just too hard. And I love him so much. And I love y'all. I listen to you and I pray for you. I'm a long time listener. Ever since it first started. And I pray for y'all every single night. I just need y'all to pray for me. Thank you, Brian and Jill, for everything y'all are doing. I love you. Bye.
Hi, this is Kiwi Marion from New Zealand. I really would like to pray for the caller who has just had a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Father, I pray for this woman. I know you are right there with her. Please give her comfort. Let her be aware of your presence. I pray for a change of heart for her husband, a refreshing of love for her, and that he does not see it as an impossible. But if not, I pray for your provision for her to be able to move back to her hometown, that it goes smoothly. Father, please bring some godly people into her life to support her and help her during this difficult journey. Father, nothing is impossible for you. So I ask in Jesus' name for your healing hand on this diagnosis. Heal her mind, Lord. Let it not progress any further. Let this bring glory to you. You have a plan and a purpose for this person, and I pray that it be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, I ask for your hand in this situation, Lord, and that your will be done. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio, calling in for Martha in New Mexico, calling in for prayer over your marriage, over your children, and over your personal prayer life as you express needing hope and hearing his voice. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you and you would clearly hear him speaking in your heart and through his word. And Mary, calling in for your pain from hemorrhoids as a stroke survivor, I pray that the Lord would shrink these and begin to ease your pain in the name of Jesus, that he would touch your body right now as we're praying. And Karen also called in today having pain from peripheral artery disease, 7 surgeries in the past 2 years. I just pray that the Lord would lead and guide your physicians to care for you properly, giving them insight and wisdom, and that he would touch your pain and begin healing your body in Jesus' name. Bertha, at 83, you called in just praying to have more trust and faith. So I just pray that the Lord would lead friends and supporters to you to encourage you, and that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you also, that you would sense his presence, that you would find consolation in his word, and that scriptures would be revealed to you that you could look at and read each and every day to build your trust and faith. And finally, Curtis from the Commonwealth, you called and said you're having surgery on 520. We're praying for that, and we're also praying for reconciliation in your marriage and the counseling that's upcoming in Jesus' name. Thank you, DAB family. Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I love you.
Hello, my name is Megumi from Jakarta, Indonesia. Today is May 18th. I rarely call in, but today I would really appreciate prayer support. About 4 years ago, I resigned from a very good paying job to start my own business. I received a good severance package and I stepped out in faith, believing it was the right decision. But not long after that, I got pulled into a legal battle to defend my house from a land mafia situation, which unfortunately is not uncommon here in Indonesia. The case has been going on for almost 4 years, and I recently lost at the final stage of the court system. Because of this long legal process, I have lost almost all of my savings and severance pay. At the same time, business has been very challenging over the past couple of years. Recently, I made the difficult decision to start applying for regular 9-to-5 jobs again. I've been applying for about a month now, but nothing has opened up yet. And financially, I probably only have enough for another month or so. I would really appreciate prayer for God's favor, provision, and breakthrough, both regarding my house situation and for a steady source of income. Thank you so much for keeping me in your prayers, and God bless everybody. I really, really love this DAB podcast. Thank you.